We are here to celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ, and we wanted to keep it a time where primarily we're here just to sing to him and to worship him. We have some special things planned for the service. We are going to have communion together in just a few minutes. As the birth of Jesus, really the most important thing about the birth of Jesus is his death and resurrection. And so we'll remember that tonight. We'll celebrate that tonight. There will be communion already prepared for you under each of your seats. If you're in the front row, right down to your left. And then after we're done with communion and just looking at some scriptures together, we're going to light our candles. You kids already have your candles lit, I see. You're not burning anybody, are you? They're real, so be careful. Oh, that's evil. But anyways, and so we are going to light our candles and we're going to sing to the Lord with a few songs in closing. But our theme tonight is, "For unto us a child is born, and unto us a son is given." You have both sides of perspective there. Unto us a child is born. We are the recipients of that gift from the Lord. And then unto us a son is given. That's heaven's perspective. The Father giving his son. And for all of us moms and dads that are here tonight, that's an unfathomable thought to give any of our children, even if we have spare children. How many of you have spare children? You got a couple to spare, right? Some of your hands went up way too quick. Yeah. You're loving them sitting up front here with me instead of where you are in your seat. But even if we have spare children, none of us really would ever, if we're in our right mind of thinking, offer them up for anybody, let alone those who were mocking and ridiculing and scorning them, especially if we were giving our children to die in somebody else's place so that they might be set free and have life. You think of the gift of God. You think of the gift of Jesus Christ given to us from his Father in heaven and how tremendous that is. And what I want to do with you for just a few minutes is I want to look at the dedication of Jesus in Luke chapter 2. So if it's easy for you, you have a Bible, you could turn. If you could even see. If not, you could just listen. I think that most of you are probably familiar with this account. But I want to read to you just a quick little excerpt from Luke chapter 2. And I'm going to begin my reading here in verse 21. "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given." Kids, you know his name, right? What's his name? Jesus, right? Does any of you kids know what his name means? You got to be seated in the front. Do any of you guys know what his name means? You know? Christ. Yes. In some ways, yes. Christ means anointed one. It means Messiah. But Jesus means that God has become our salvation, right? That God is our salvation. He is born, and a week after he is born, we read of these events. He's going to be dedicated. Were any of you kids dedicated on this stage before? A lot of you were, right? A lot of you moms and dads, you dedicated your children on the stage. Jesus Christ was dedicated, and the Father who gave his son handpicks the person that's going to dedicate him. And it's not going to be the high priests. It's not going to be the religious people that are on the scene during the time of Christ. It's a man named Simeon. It's an interesting story. Let me read it to you. It says that when 8 days were accomplished, about a week after Jesus was born, that it was time for the circumcising of the child. His name was called Jesus, which was so named of the angel before he was conceived in the womb. And when the day of her purification, according to the law of Moses, was accomplished, they brought Jesus to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male that opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to that which is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of 2 turtle doves or 2 young pigeons. Now that's about 2 years before the wise men come and find Jesus. I know that probably messes up a lot of your nativity scenes that you have set up at home, but they were not there when he was in the manger. It probably was around the time that Christ was 2 years that they would have gotten to him. And they bring their gold and frankincense and myrrh. So at this time, Mary and Joseph are poor. We know that because of the offering that they bring, turtle doves. That's the lowest offering that you would bring permitted by God if you had no way to purchase a lamb. That would be something that would cost you perhaps too much. So the Lord would make provision for even those who are impoverished. And Joseph and Mary were such before they received the goods from the wise men. And it says that, behold, the Holy Spirit wants us to consider something on this scene here. There was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. His name means hearkening or hearing. And it tells us that this same man was just and devout, and he was waiting with like great anticipation for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him. And it was revealed unto Simeon by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ, as the little child up here had said. That's who Jesus is. He is the Messiah. He's the anointed one of God. So there's this picture here. Jesus is a week old. His mom and dad, you know his name, their names? Mary and Joseph. They bring baby Jesus as a young couple to be dedicated to the Lord. There's a man there that God had set up before Jesus was even born. His name is Simeon. Hebrew tradition tells us he was 113 years old. Really old, right? Really old. And he's there, and he's a man who is filled with God's Spirit. And the Holy Spirit had shown him, you're not going to die till you see my Christ, my anointed one, the one that I'm going to send to save my people from their sins. So you could imagine the anticipation that Simeon would have had, knowing that my days aren't going to end till this baby is born into the world to save man from their sins. And finally, the day arrives where Mary and Joseph bring their son, Jesus, wrapped in swaddling clothes. New parents. Y'all know what that's like when you're a parent of your first child. That's when the binky falls and you disinfect it, right? Second, third, fourth kid, you don't even wipe it on your pants anymore. You stick it right in their mouth. You plug the hole. You have to for sanity purposes, right? It changes. First kid, you make sure you swaddle them. You make sure that they're wrapped nice and tight like a cocoon. You hold them closely. You do everything perfectly. The second, third kid, you're just thankful that you remembered a blanket, that you remembered a snow hat. Everything changes. Honey, is he buckled in the back? Who cares? Just drive. We've got to get there. You know, everything changes. But this is their first child. And listen, I know you all think your kid's something special. I do too. But their child really was the Son of God, okay? And so there's going to be problems if they don't tend to him properly. They bring Jesus to be dedicated. There's a man there whose name means hearkening. I wish I could teach this to you in depth, and I won't try to tonight. But how important it is that we are hearkening to the Holy Spirit so that we could be in tune with the Holy Spirit to the things that he wants to show us. Here comes baby Jesus, wrapped in swaddling clothes. And it says that he came by the Spirit in the temple. And when the parents brought in their child Jesus, if you're following along, I'm finishing verse 27, to do for him after the custom of the law. And then moms, can you imagine this? A 113-year-old man comes and takes your child out of your hands. Right? You'd be a little sketched out, maybe. But there must have been something different in Simeon's eyes as he goes toward Mary. And he takes the baby from her. And it says that he takes him up in verse 28. Literally, the Greek is, because I know you kids like Greek. It's important that I teach you Greek on Christmas Eve, a half hour before your family gathering. Then took he him, or literally in the Greek, in the crook of his arm. Imagine the scene, if you could. And blessed God, and he said, in verse 29, and this is where I want to finish with tonight. He said, Lord, which is master. He said, now let your doulos, your servant, depart in peace according to your word. The Latin Vulgate is this. now dismiss me, Lord. My duty is complete. I'm your servant, you're my master, and I have fulfilled what you put me on this earth to do, and it's to bless your son when he'd be born into this world. Nothing else matters. I've been around for over a century. Nothing else compares, Lord, to the presence of your son. Imagine the engagement the two had when they would look each other in their eyes, holding Jehovah wrapped in human skin. He says, Father, there's nothing more left for me to do. This is as good as it gets here now, as I've been allowed to hold the baby Jesus in my arms. He says, my eyes have seen your salvation. Salvation is not just something that Jesus does. It's who Jesus is. He saves his people from their sins. Amen. That's why we've gathered tonight. That's why we've held the family party up until after we're done with service. That's why we have our children on the floor listening to a preacher talk about these truths, because this is the number one thing that every single one of us understand. God gave his son, for unto us a child is born, but even more so, for unto us the Son of God has been given, so that we can be saved of our sins. He holds this child who would grow to be the Messiah. He had to be born as a baby in order to have a body of a man, in order for that body to be pierced to the tree to die for you and me. He had to have hands. He had to have feet. He had to have a head that would bear that crown of thorns. He had to have a physical frame to be crucified. That's why Jesus came. Simeon said it perfectly. He said, my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared before the face of all people. Listen, the good news of Jesus Christ is for every one of you here tonight. Even if you're only here because it's Christmas Eve, God loves you. Jesus died for you. God gave his son for you, even if you've yet to receive and believe. Even if you haven't accepted that most perfect gift, not that's under your Christmas tree, but that hung on the tree for you. Even if you've yet to receive it, God says to you tonight that I gave my son for you, for all people, young and old, religious and those who are not religious. I gave my son to die in sinners' stead. It's beautiful here what Simeon prophesies, what he says. The nunc dimittis, he says this, you have prepared this, Lord, before the foundation of the world for all people, that he might be a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel. And Joseph and his mother marveled. Wouldn't you? If you brought your baby up on the stage and I started saying these things of your child. They didn't fully understand what they had at this time. Not yet. They marvel. They were amazed at the things that were spoken. And the closing goes like this. Simeon blessed them. And he turns to Mary, because Joseph will die young. Joseph won't be there for what Simeon's going to say to Mary. And he turns to Mary and he says unto Mary, his mother, behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against or mocked. Yea, this is what he says to his mom, a sword, not a little Roman dagger that they invented, but a 6-foot He-Man sword. That should get your guys' attention, right? A sword shall pierce through your own soul, Mary, that the thoughts of many hearts might be revealed. And she would be at the foot of the cross. One of the seven sayings of Jesus from the cross would be to John, behold your mother, and then to Mary, behold your son. Jesus making arrangements for her to be taken care of, even in his dying. Mary, this is going to be like a sword that pierces through. There's going to be this division of acceptors and rejectors. There's always going to be that from the ministry of Jesus Christ. Those who receive and believe have the greatest gift that they could ever have. Those who reject, well, that's their prerogative, but that will be unto their own damnation. He says, but you will see that your son is going to be raised up. You will see that your son is God who has become our salvation. It's in him, it's through him, it's by him, that all people can be saved from their sins. And imagine what it would be like for her when she would be there on Golgotha, when she would be there at the foot of the cross where her son would die, remembering these words. And we remember them tonight. We're not seeking to be morbid. We're not seeking to bring a buzzkill to the Christmas season. But what we are seeking to do is remember what Jesus came for. He came to die. But it's not gloomy in that sense, because he rose again, didn't he? 3 days after he was crucified, he rose again valiantly and victoriously. And that is what we are celebrating tonight, a risen Savior. Unto us, a child is born. Unto us, a son is given. So let's do this. Let's take communion together corporately. As I said to you already, it's prepared for you under your seats. If you're in the front row, it's right down to the left of your chair. My right, your left. And we're not going to have the worship team come forward like we often do for this portion. I'm going to lead you in a prayer. Now, if you have children that are here tonight, and obviously they're up front, they're not able to receive the communion, if it's something that's important to you for them to do, we prepared trays of juice and bread that you can take with them on your way out. It will be in the foyer to your left as you walk out the doors. There's a table set up there, and you can grab that and lead your children in communion if you sort of just want to instill in them the importance of this season. I don't want my kids to grow up personally thinking that it's all about them during Christmas. I want them to understand that it's all about Jesus, not just during Christmas, but always. And I want them to have that understanding that he is the reason for this specific season. So if you're desiring to lead your children in communion, you don't need a pastor, you don't need an elder, you just lead them in a prayer, and you could take that on your way out. But for those of you who love the Lord, for those of you who, like Simeon, say, man, my eyes have seen salvation, your heart is overwhelmed, you could at this time ready yourself as I lead you in prayer to partake of the Lord's Supper. Dear Jesus, we thank you so much for being born into this world. It is hard for our minds, Lord, to wrap themselves around this truth that you, God, would step into our universe and put on human flesh, be born of the Virgin Mary, live a sinless life, and die our sinner's death. It's hard for our minds, Lord, especially as Americans and all of the dreams and goals and pursuits that we have, Lord, to understand that you didn't come into this world to achieve any of the things that maybe we seek to. But Lord, rather, you came for the sole purpose of dying. And then, of course, resurrecting. There are no words that we can say to you of proper gratitude, Lord, but we want to try our best tonight by simply saying thank you. Thank you for dying for our sins. Thank you for forgiving us and cleansing us and for washing us and making us as white as snow. And tonight, Lord, on Christmas Eve, Lord, we remember you. Lord, we celebrate you. Our hearts are dancing, Lord. With Simeon, we could say, Lord, nothing else really matters. We have seen our salvation. And we partake tonight, Lord, of your supper with great joy. Church, go ahead and partake of the bread and the juice at your pace. Thank you, God, for all of the families, visitors, and people that you have brought here tonight to sing praises to you, and at the very least, Lord, hear us sing praises to you. And just to hear your scriptures be read, God, we thank you for this gathering. We thank you for these moments of sanity. For so many, God, it's been an insane season, an insane past few weeks, God. We're so thankful for the pause, for the time to gather together in church to remember you. Bless, Lord, everyone's goings, I ask. Bless everyone's holiday season. Keep us safe, Lord. Heal the sick that are here tonight. Strengthen, Lord, those who are weary. God, for those who are struggling at this time of year, they've lost loved ones, they're going through family difficulties and trials and tribulations, Lord, would you please be their peace? Would you be their strength? Would you be their comfort? Would you be their mighty God? Would you be their everlasting Father? Would you be their rock of ages that they could set their feet upon tonight? So thankful, God, that you are ever present in every time of need that we have. And we turn our eyes to you, the one to whom our help comes from. And it's in Jesus' name and for Jesus' glory, all God's people said, amen. What we're going to do now at this time as we sort of move to the finishing part of our service is I'm going to invite some of the elders up to, I'm going to light their candles, and hopefully we don't light anybody on fire. And then they're going to make their way to the start of the aisles here, and we're going to light your candles, and we'll invite you to stand with us and sing these closing songs.